So we're back here on the game. It is down to just me, though luckily we do have Mitch Fortner on the line. He is down in Lexington, South Carolina, where the Wildcat baseball team just fell to St. John's about an hour and a half ago or so. 9-2 earlier today, snapping a four-game winning streak. So, Mitch, just what have you seen so far from the K-State baseball team, having been down there for a couple games?
Well, I've seen a lot of good things. For instance, you know, against South Carolina, the offense, what they did in the first inning was remarkable, especially putting up the first four in the first inning. The relief pitching against South Carolina as well was really good because they had to bring in, K-State did, six relievers in the final six innings, and they shut out South Carolina's number 14 in the country in the last four innings. But today I would maybe describe it as maybe inconsistent. Brogan Heinen, who was the starting pitcher today for K-State, he looked really good in the first inning. And then in the second inning, he wasn't locating very well. He got into a jam early, gave up a run, and, I mean, quite frankly, just wasn't the same. Didn't give up a run in the third inning. But, you know, getting through five, giving up the earned run, K-State's bats after that first inning as well, after McGee, who was the starting pitcher for St. John's in that first inning, you know, he gave up the two runs to K-State, but then went on to retire 10 straight. And St. John's, I mean, I got to give them a lot of credit. They're a very good team. They started out very well. They're 5-0, knocking off the defending national champions. They were Big East champions a couple years ago. They're a very veteran squad. But I mean, K-State with Liberty coming up, I mean, that inconsistency that we saw today, obviously that can't continue. But luckily, the relief pitchers that pitched against South Carolina should be good to go for the rest of the weekend.
So the Liberty Flames, you have a contest tomorrow. That will be at 1 o'clock. We'll be carrying that entire game online due to K-State basketball. And then again at 10 o'clock on Sunday. So Cats have faced major conference opponents five of their first six games this year, now facing a Big South opponent in Liberty. What do you know about the Flames, and what do you think the Cats should be expecting out of this one?
Well, Liberty does have some pretty good pitching. We're actually not really sure who's going to be pitching tomorrow and Sunday yet. They're actually playing right now against, I couldn't even tell you what the letters mean, UMBC.
University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
And I don't know how you ever knew that, but I was surprised to hear that. But that's who Liberty's playing right now, and then the Cats will play two against them. I will say, Liberty's bats could be better. Out of the three teams K-State playing this weekend, they are the worst. They're about 250-ish right now. Entering today, they're about 250-ish. We'll see how they do against Baltimore County. But that's a team K-State could definitely sweep Saturday and Sunday. But like I mentioned, you're going to have to get some good starting pitching from K-State the rest of the way. Coming up for K-State tomorrow will be Justin Heskett. He's 0-0 so far at 3.6 ERA. And I can tell you right now, what Brad Hill's going to be looking for is a long outing from him to give his bullpen a little bit of rest, because it's been taxing the last couple days. But I mean, Liberty's a good squad. They've had a good start to the year, but K-State should be able to put together some wins.
Once again, K-State and Liberty, two games down in Lexington, South Carolina. Tomorrow will be at 1 o'clock, pregame probably a little bit before that. We'll be online only at newsradiokman.com. Then we will have 9:30 pregame and 10 o'clock first pitch on Sunday between the Wildcats and the Flames. Moving on now to women's basketball. As Mitch, you've had the opportunity to watch the majority of the season with a very, very nice front row seat at Bramlage Coliseum, and women really playing well, coming off a big win against Oklahoma back on Tuesday night, I believe it was, and now heading to Lawrence tomorrow before finishing their regular season schedule with a big game against Texas. I mean, what is the significance of these last couple games for the K-State women?
Well, they're huge. First of all, K-State, and I've been saying it before the season started, I knew they were going to be an NCAA tournament team. They would return for the second straight year. It was just a question, can they be able to host a regional? That's the big question right now. And K-State, I think to do that, they're going to certainly have to finish out the regular season with a couple wins at KU and then Texas at home on Monday. I mean, the Texas game is going to be a tough one because they've only lost, what, two games now in the Big 12. They lost to Oklahoma last weekend, and then previously in the year, actually just not too long ago, they've lost to Baylor. So Texas is a good squad, but K-State can certainly get it done. They've been a better team at home. I think K-State has. They somehow just feed off the energy from the crowd, and they put together wins. The Oklahoma win back on Tuesday, like you mentioned, that was a huge win because earlier in the year they lost in overtime to the Sooners. And the Cats built a big lead early. And then Oklahoma came back but never made the full comeback, never led in the ball game to Oklahoma. K-State led the whole way. But the K-State talent this year has been phenomenal. You can see K-State getting better as the season goes on, led by the veterans like Kindred Wiesman and Brianna Lewis. The bench players as well have been phenomenal for K-State as well this year. And I would have to say, with these next two games coming up, if they could knock off Texas and beat KU tomorrow and knock off Texas, I mean, they're in a very good spot to move up in Charlie Cream's bracketology, which I last saw, I believe K-State was around six seed.
Yeah, 6 seed is the last I saw as well there.
So that's actually a bump up from last week, which was at 7. So K-State, I mean, they got to still win a couple games. It would help if they can knock off a couple teams in the Big 12 tournament, but there's still a chance for a regional.
So, kind of looking at tomorrow, it's kind of a bizarre situation since the Texas game's on Monday night, so it'll be a very short turnaround for the Wildcats, who are going to Allen Fieldhouse against the KU team that they've won 2 Big 12 games in the last 2 years combined. So, what you have to wonder what's on the mind of Jeff Mitty's squad right before such a big game against Texas, and you're turning around playing the worst team in the conference right before that. So just wondering, what do you think is on their mind, and how do you think they're maybe trying to say strategizing as to how to get through this game and still be completely ready for Texas? I mean, you could call it a trap game. At the same time, it's a rivalry game, and K-State has really done a good job at avoiding letdowns like these. But just what do you tell your players, I guess, in your opinion?
Well, you tell your players before that game at Allen Fieldhouse that you're going to go out there, you're going to dismantle and embarrass KU, and then you get ready for Texas on Monday. I don't think K-State's going to have an issue with KU. The Jayhawks are 2-14. They're 8-19 overall. They've dropped 3 straight. They've lost 5 of the last 6. They just lost to Iowa State, even though they scored 75 points, which I thought that was actually impressive. But I mean, Jessica Washington, Mackenzie Calvert, KU has some great players, but it's just they're not consistent. They don't have, they don't necessarily play as a team always. They can score in spurts, but their defense can't keep up with some of the highly talented offenses that you can see in the Big 12. But mentally, this is a team that's been, they've been fine. I don't think they get caught up in looking ahead or anything, and there's been ways of looking ahead all season long, and I think they've handled that quite well. It's all about just going on the road, and luckily for the Cats, they after that game they'll get to sleep in their own beds because Lawrence isn't that far from Manhattan, so they'll bus over either the day before. I think they've done it. They did that last year. If I could talk, they did that last year. Bust over the day before, stay the night, and then rolled back after the game. But luckily, K-State they don't have to travel. They don't have to worry about getting back super late. But the Cats, they're gonna beat KU Saturday, and then that'll set up the big test Monday for the Texas game, which actually tip off at 7:00.
All right, Mitch, thank you for your time. K-State baseball, that's what Mitch is out doing in Lexington, South Carolina. We'll have that online only at 1:00 tomorrow, and then 9:30 pregame, 10:00 first pitch on Sunday. Mitch, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, no problem. And hey, I just want to send a couple quick shout-outs real quick. First to the Manhattan High Wrestling team, who I last saw so far day one of the tourney, fake tourney in Wichita. They were in first place.
They're in first place as of 4:40. You're correct.
So, and last I saw, six wrestlers onto the semifinals, so that is fantastic. Also, John Kurtz tonight will have MHS basketball on the road at Shawnee Heights, both the girls and boys going for Centennial League titles, boys and girls looking for outright titles here tonight. So good luck to not only the wrestlers, but the basketball teams as well.
All right, Mitch, thank you very much. We are going to go ahead and take a break here on the game. When you come back, I think Dave Donner was calling just a minute ago. We hope to have him back on to give us an update on how the Manhattan High wrestlers are doing at state. We're also going to play back an interview earlier in the week that John Kurtz and Tyler Dreiling did with Brad Underwood as well. Plus, you can't be serious to round out the show. Then we'll hand it off to John Kurtz and Brady Bowman, who are at Shawnee Heights. You're listening to The Game on News Radio KMIN.